As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe, Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
And now, Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
Mighty Manfred back here with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and set for another Coolest Conversations throwback presented by Hard Rock. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. The Wayback Machine takes us to Friday, August the 7th, 2015, when I was joined by Jessica Hernandez of Jessica Hernandez and the Deltas. We talk about her growing up in Detroit over her family's restaurant, her musical influences, challenges of maintaining a band, and her album Secret Evil, as well as the band's relationship with Richard Goddard. At the time of our interview, our coolest song in the world was their version of the La Tigra tune, Decepticon. So let's hear some of that, followed by my talk with Jessica Hernandez on your Coolest Conversations throwback presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Manfred, and now it's time for your coolest conversations. And joining me right now is Jessica Hernandez from Jessica Hernandez and the Deltas. How are you, Jessica?
I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, yeah. So we just took a listen to Decepticon. It's this week's coolest song in the world. It's a new single of yours, I think, backed with the tune Don't Take My Man to Idaho. But this one's a cover of the La Tigra song, the original kind of being a synth pop dancey thing. Why did you choose to cover this tune?
I grew up kind of really into the Riot Girl thing, and I really love La Tigra. They're one of my favorite bands growing up, and now we were getting ready to record a 7-inch, and we did the song for one show. It was for a festival in Bumbershoot, and it went over so well that we kind of just kept playing it, and I just kind of incorporated it into our set list, and then I decided to record it, and, the recording sounded great, and it's just kind of like paying homage to, like, what I grew up listening to and the whole Riot Girl thing and being a big fan of Tigra and all those kinds of bands, so... Yeah, just a fun thing for me to do to reminisce about the past, and yeah.
Well, let's delve some into your past. Then you're from Detroit. Detroit area, is it West Bloomfield?
Yeah. That's where I went to high school.
West Bloomfield, and so. When I was a kid, I had relatives of mine living overseas in Germany, and they lived above a storefront, like a clothing storefront, and it was the family business. And I thought as a kid that was just like the coolest thing in the world that you would live over a business. Now, did you live over like your family's restaurant or something like that?
Yeah, actually, still currently, that's kind of like our hub. I'm originally from Southwest Detroit, Mexican town, and that's kind of where we've all been living. And above my parents' Mexican bakery, it's called Mexican Town Bakery. It's right in Southwest Detroit. We've got a little bakery, and right next door, my family has a restaurant. So I was living above the restaurant, and then above the bakery is where me and the Deltas have our practice space and our loft, and that's kind of where, we do everything, recording and rehearsing and all that good stuff.
Well, to me, your music draws on blues and soul, kind of got garage rock edges to it. When did you start playing music, and, why do you sound the way you do?
I actually didn't start writing and playing instruments until I was probably 19. And I've always sang, and I always wanted to sing. And then I was in a lot of bands growing up and singing in bands, and I just felt like people weren't taking me seriously. I had all these ideas and I had a lot of different influences, and no one really understood what I was trying to do with it. And so I was like, screw it, I'm just gonna write the songs myself. And so I picked up a guitar and got a keyboard, and I started writing myself and, you know, just seeing what happened. And I think just having all those different influences, it kind of just, the sound kind of just happened. I wasn't necessarily trying to aim for any particular thing, but, you know, I grew up listening to like a lot of garage rock, being from Detroit, and, you know, being really influenced by like Iggy Pop and then C5 and then a lot of old Motown and old soul. So it kind of has like that combination of all of it just from growing up around that, you know?
And when you say growing up around that, does that mean that music, like the Motown or the older stuff, was that present in your household? Did your parents play that stuff, or did you have siblings that were into that?
I mean, my dad, yeah, the Motown is more my grandparents, and then, you know, the garage rock scene was more my dad, and he was really into that whole thing. So he introduced me to a lot of that and passed his record collection on to me at a really young age. And so, you know, kind of the combination of all my family being really into music and introducing me to a lot of different stuff.
So this band's been together about 5 years now, is that right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And I know, you know, 5 years together, you're going to go through some lineup changes, but what do you think is the hardest? Who's the hardest musician to keep in a band? Who's the kind that you wind up having to replace the most often?
The guitarist, actually. I think, I don't know why, not for any particular reason. I think it's just kind of been like the way that it's worked out. And I think the hardest thing is not finding, you know, it's like Detroit is full of really talented players, but the hardest thing is finding people that really, really like to live in a van full time and are excited about that lifestyle. Cause you know, you can love to play music, but if you don't like touring, then it's a hard thing to get into.
So, the guitar player, and I was thinking about living on the road and stuff. So far, you don't mind that, right?
No, I love it. Yeah, I love it a lot.
Well, real quick, I wanted to talk, too, about the debut album, Secret Evil, that came out last year on Instant Records, which is owned by Richard Goddard, quite a producing and songwriting legend. Produced girl groups like the Angels in the 60s and later the McCoys, was a member of the Strangeloves, produced Blondie and the Fleshtones, managed the Raveonettes, founded Sire Records. Now, you've met Richard?
Oh, yeah. Yep. We're very close.
Very close. How did you meet him? How did you come to wind up on Instant Records?
He had come across our record. I think, you know, at the time, our manager knew Richard, and he knew he had been, like, working with the Dum Dum Girls. And, you know, Richard is kind of known for working with a lot of, like, female artists, and he worked with Blondie and the Go-Go's and all, you know. And so I think our manager just was, like, on a whim, like, I feel like Richard would really be into this. And he had sent him, you know, the album, and at the time I had just left Blue Note, and you know, Richard ended up liking the record and wanted to meet, and we met and got along really well, and he loved the record, he wanted to put it out, and I don't know, it just kind of happened that way. But
so when I looked on the producing credits for Secret Evil, I see, you know, you listed as the producer, is that correct?
Yeah. Or so, not on Secret Evil, no. That's for the on the 7-inch for Decepticon and Don't Take My Man to Idaho.
Okay. But, so who produced Secret Evil?
Secret Evil was produced by Camilo Freudeval.
Okay, so in the future, will Richard be producing any of the recordings, you think, or not?
I don't know yet. We've definitely talked about the idea, but it's definitely, it's hard, you know, because it's like he's also the label, so... But he definitely has, like, a huge influence on what we do, and he's super involved. So even if he's not producing, he's always popping in and, you know, giving feedback and all that.
And is he getting some donuts or something from the bakery, too?
Exactly, yep.
Well, that's cool. Now, Earl, I know earlier this year you guys were spending a lot of time on the road. We mentioned you're living out of the van and stuff. What are your plans for the fall? Are you going back in the studio, or are there more shows to do?
We're actually, the only shows we're doing some festivals. We'll be at ACL, and we'll be at Voodoo Fest, and we're doing a couple other ones. But for the most part, we're going to be staying home and working on the second full length already. So I'm excited. We're going to finally get some time. We've been on the road so much that we haven't really had time to just sit and write. So we'll be doing that. And then come the winter, we'll be able to get in the studio and record the next full length.
Oh, I'm excited about that. I'm hoping that it'll come out maybe towards the end of next year, you think? Maybe?
I think probably by next spring we're talking about. So hopefully it happens that quickly.
Well, you know, I want us to listen to a track off of Secret Evil now, though, and we'll have to go out with this. I want us to give a spin to the song Caught Up, which the video of that makes me think of like Linda Blair kind of playing around in front of a mirror. But what can you tell me about the song?
The song I actually wrote as a gift for a best friend of mine who was going through some dramatic situations, and I wrote it as a gift and then really loved the song and wanted to put it on the record. And
Well, we need to give that a listen. But first, Jessica, thanks so much for talking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Oh, thank you so much. So nice to be on the show.
Oh, yeah. Thanks a lot. So let's take a listen. This is Caught Up off Secret Evil, Jessica Hernandez and the Deltas, right here in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
As a child, Otha Ellis Bates McDaniel taught himself to play guitar, but he never found one he liked, so he built his own. Soon after, his rectangular-shaped axe with an old TV dial for a volume knob could be heard on radios everywhere as he launched the beat heard round the world. He was Bo Diddley. His handmade guitar is at the Hard Rock Cafe in Times Square. Thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history are at Hard Rock Cafes, casinos, and hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Told it in the side, baby, diamond ring.